When I was considering what to write for my column on Forbes, I came across some really compelling information about how exhausted our employees are and what we can do about it. Between the pandemic and the economy, we're all seeing the effects on our teams. But there's a lot we can do to bolster people, from our leaders and high-level managers who are bearing a lot on their own shoulders, to new hires and new-to-work younger talent that never imagined they would be facing the challenges they are now. We also have to think about employees on the front lines and hourly employees who may not only be the public face of the company, they are most at risk physically, emotionally, mentally. There's a lot we can do to take better care of them. But here's the thing. Employees can very quickly turn into job seekers, and they are still exhausted, still stressed as they start the process. So it's not just employees we have to take care of. It's the candidates as well. Welcome to the Work Trends Podcast from Talent Culture. I'm your host, Megan Ambiro. Every week, I interview interesting people who are reimagining work. And be sure to check out our Work Trends Twitter chat events calendar located at talentculture.com on the podcast page. Think about retail, travel and hospitality, hospitals, healthcare, restaurants, warehouses. Hourly workers are the backbone of our economy. They make up 59% of all employees in the U.S. But this year, given the impact of the pandemic, many have been furloughed or seen hours reduced. Or they may have been laid off. Many are going to be looking for new jobs, even new fields. They're looking for employers they can count on, jobs they can love, brands they can represent with pride. And businesses are either hiring because their businesses haven't stopped growing. You can imagine what's happening to online retail and warehousing right now, for instance, right? Or we're about to start rebuilding workforces. There's likely going to be a tidal wave of organizations all looking for hourly workers in the near future. And as you try to beat the competition to land the talent that best fits your company, and as you work to improve your employer brand, there are two words you need to seriously think about: candidate experience. Today's podcast is for you. We've got Quincy Valencia, Vice President of Product Innovation at Alexander Mann Solutions. We're taking a deep dive into the best way to provide a super candidate experience to hourly employees and why that's so critical now and going forward. This episode is sponsored by Hourly by Alexander Mann Solutions. Nearly half of all hires fail to make it at their new employer within 18 months. One key reason, the job. The employee and the employer just don't mesh. They don't fit. It could be the job description wasn't clear. It could be no one found out some key pieces of information that would have helped more accurately predict someone's success in a given role. It could be that the experience of getting hired turned from promising to grueling, and yet the employee had no choice but to keep doing it, so they did it. But once hired, their enthusiasm for the employer had already gone sour. Candidate experience plays a role in engagement, retention, brand alignment, yes, and loyalty, and ultimately, business success. But what are the tools that make it feasible for hiring at scale and reaching as many great candidates as you can? We are going to focus on this very thing today. So I am thrilled to introduce today's Work Trends guest, Quincy Valencia, Vice President, Product Innovation at Alexander Mann Solutions. Quincy has a passion for challenging the status quo to bring new insights on technology and service delivery into the talent acquisition space. She has a really exciting role. Her current role is focused on designing new products to take to market to bolster AMS's leadership position in the global recruitment industry. Quincy has more than 20 years of experience in recruitment, having worked in corporate technology providing, staffing, RPO organizations, you name it, she's been there. She has firsthand knowledge of the challenges faced by candidates, recruiters, hiring managers, leaders, and vendors, having worn all of the hats over the course of her career. She's on a mission, everybody. And what's not to love here? She's changing the way organizations think about and approach talent acquisition. And that's where we're all going to start with talent acquisition. and how we can do it more effectively. It really all boils down to the experience hourly job seekers have along the way. If you're out there in the Work Trends community, you know this is one of our big topics, candidate experience, how we feel when we are looking for a new job, how we feel once we're in. So Quincy, welcome to Work Trends.
Hi, Megan. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm excited to be here. And it really is a mission to get people to think differently about how we're approaching getting people to apply for and come to work for us. So thanks again.
You got it. Well, you've got a lot of passion, and so does the entire team there, by the way. That's why I love collaborating with you so much, because you care about this. We care about this. So together, you know, we can make a difference, and it's those little tiny details, right? So let's dive in. Let's talk about candidate experience when it comes to hiring hourly employees, because I don't know about you, but I feel like this is something we're not talking about. You know, why do so many organizations leave hourly workers out of the equation?
I mean, I think it's a vestige of old, right? Most people really started thinking about talent acquisition and hiring kind of in the 90s. If you look back, before that you had a personnel department, and some people would come in and you would fill out the application and you would hire, and it was formal and kind of everyone had the same process all the way through. And then the 90s came along and technology really started to come in. And the processes were all designed around existing old process. And then the technology was designed around that process, all of which was designed around your professional hire. And so as you advanced through the decades, and it has been decades, as much as I hate to say it, we've continued to just promote those same old processes that were developed and designed for your salaried professional workers. And our hourly workers have been really looked at more as a commodity, because they kind of come and they kind of go. Turnover is higher, and that's not necessarily bad. You know, your first job at the retail organization up the road is not necessarily meant to be your forever job, and that's okay. But because of that, organizations have looked at that as the opportunity to kind of skip over them and focus elsewhere instead. And I think what we've seen during the time of this pandemic is that that's a mistake. These are the workers that are closest to your customer. They really are driving not just your business, but our economy at large. And it's really just critical that we focus on these candidates as the drivers of our business that they are, and not as commodities that we can think of kind of secondhand.
And Quincy, you and I are going to state right here in real time, we will never, ever use the word personnel again. Promise me. Promise us, everybody.
Exactly. And that's what it was, right? It's, go to personnel. And it's just, let's not.
No, let's not do that. Let's stop being, I don't mind old school like you, but when it comes to attracting talent, you're right. We are so behind. And why aren't we thinking about this? And I'm glad we are now, right? So if you're out there, give us a shout out on Work Trends. We want to hear from you, and never, ever say those words again, because we are all humans after all, right?
Exactly. It's not paper to push, and it's not a button to check, and it's not a, how do we give people the opportunity to go to work and make a living and support their family and earn a paycheck and pay their rent and do so with integrity and with dignity and respect, regardless of the role they play in your organization? And to me, you started out saying I had a mission, and that really is the mission. How do we treat human beings like human beings?
Why is the candidate experience so important to hourly employees now?
Well, it's sort of what I mentioned before, and then there's more to it. So first is, again, look at 2020 and what we've learned about who really is supporting our business. And people want to be treated as human beings, and people want to be treated with integrity and with dignity and respect that they deserve for the work that they do on the front lines of our economy and the businesses that we all frequent and that we want to go to and that we really understand play such an important role in our lives. But also look at the people that are doing these roles. So, and they're really expecting employers to care for them as human beings. And that's beyond just the workplace. I mean, really, they're expecting other human beings to care for them as human beings. And so that definitely translates into your candidate experience now, so more than ever, just because of the people that are filling these roles. And so as your organizations are trying to grow and rebuild and survive amidst this global pandemic, there's this renewed focus on how are we competing for this talent as they're coming back, and as we're doing so within just our newly formed organizations, newly formed by because we have to by necessity based on what the market that we've been operating in. As we're doing so, we're having to really focus on the needs of the candidate more so than ever at this point. Unfortunately, it's come to it because of something we never wanted to experience. But fortunately, I'm really seeing employers give it the due consideration that it's been deserving for a long time. So if there's a silver lining, I think that's it, right? We're actually saying, hey, we need to do this more than ever. So let's take this opportunity to actually do it.
So you have a really cool role, right? You're in product innovation. Can you talk about the products that are making the hiring experience better for hourly candidates?
I can, but it's going to sound kind of strange because sadly, it's nothing particularly innovative. And just stick with me here for a minute. The first and foremost, and this sounds almost elementary, but we have got to make the experience mobile. Go back to the statistic I just said about who are filling these jobs and they're under 30. A lot of people don't even have laptops or desktops anymore. Close to 70% of all job searches, certainly within the hourly category, begin on a mobile device. So why would we put out a process that doesn't allow them to complete it on a mobile device, right? Doesn't make sense. And yet fewer than 40% of the processes out there today allow them to complete a job application in a mobile way. So first and foremost, any system that allows them to search for, apply, assess, schedule, and complete a process on their mobile device is sort of revolutionary today, which seems counterintuitive, but it's true. And that's certainly hourly by AMS, if I may do a shameless plug for our own product, does that. That was one of the, is supporting our mission that we've been talking about all along. Certainly that was critical and one of the, just the pillar of how we were going to build our product. We weren't going to do it if we couldn't do all of those things mobile first.
And I love that you mentioned the word complete. How many job seekers out there, if you're out there and you're looking and you're on your mobile, are you actually going through the steps? A lot of the times what we're finding is that candidates don't complete. So I'm so glad you brought that up. And that's the most important thing. If you don't complete, we don't know you exist.
Well, that's right. You're sitting there, you're having a bad day at your job. You need to make more money. You need to work closer to home. You want to find another opportunity. So you have your 30-minute lunch break. You want to find a new job. And if it's going to take you an hour to complete the application, you're going to skip that. You're not doing it. You're going to the next application. So we make it difficult for job seekers. We make it too long for job seekers. So anything that's going to shorten the time, anything that's going to help them target those jobs that are closer to home right off the bat so they don't have to search more quickly, and anything that allows them to complete the process in one sitting within one application is really going to capture that candidate for you, whereas your competitors are going to lose out. You know, 37% of hourly job seekers, and I'm sorry, I'm throwing out this statistic and my apology to whoever it is that did this research, because I don't remember where I read it, but it was just recent. It just stuck with me. 37% of hourly job seekers say that speed is the most important factor in deciding where to apply for a job. And so if you're not taking that into consideration and, you know, maybe you have a really modern front end and you've slapped a chatbot on the front and that's really helpful and it's great. And then you dump them into an old legacy technology experience from when we still called it personnel, you're going to lose that candidate. And why would you invest that time and that money in putting something on there that's going to be great for this candidate and then expect them to complete an old legacy experience? It just doesn't make sense. And it's not good for you. It's not good for your candidate.
So there's a lot of things we're neglecting about hourly candidates, clearly. What is the easy win if you're out there right now and you want to make a hire of an hourly candidate? What should we be doing? Because, I mean, we're neglecting. If you were to say top three things somebody that's hiring can do today to try to have a win here, what would those three things be? I think you already covered one. It's speed, right? That's a biggie.
Well, I've covered number one and two, I think. Number one is speed. Go through your application. Pretend you're a candidate, because most of us, you get to a leadership role and you just haven't done it. You make assumptions about your process that just really aren't true. That ask any of your recruiters or your hiring managers, they know. Go out and go through the process and see how long it takes and how many links are broken and how many steps it takes and how many clicks it takes. And you're going to be really frustrated in a lot of cases. So first and foremost is speed. Number two, or which would actually be 1A, is mobile first. Make sure that you can do it that way. And then equally important is communicate. Make sure that you are not letting candidates still go into that black hole of, I applied, I'm never going to hear from you again unless I get, you know, the job, or I'm, you know, an interview, or until that rec closes in 90 days. It's just unconscionable that you would ask for someone to spend their time and take their time to apply to you, and then you don't get back to them at all. So give the candidates, make yourself relevant in their mind. Don't be arrogant about your own brand and think, well, I'm XYZ brand and they'll want to work here. They don't. They want to go somewhere where they get a paycheck faster, because it being in a week or being in 2 weeks might make the difference of whether or not they can pay the rent. So show them the respect and the time that they're going to show you by taking the time to apply for your job, and communicate throughout the process. And you can do it in an automated way. You don't have to hire more recruiters. Find the technology and take the time up front to set it up so that your candidates feel like they're having a personalized experience, even though it's being done through technology.
You know, to me, Quincy, one of the best things we can do is make that job search available to everybody. And yes, that's mobile. Tell us what's happening when organizations don't locate their hiring process on mobile. You've seen it. Tell us some stories.
Well, they're losing candidates, which means they're losing business. I mean, these candidates who you bring in and become employees are the ones that are closest to the dollar. We used to, in my retail days, we called it closest to the cash register. If you don't have people who can restock the shelves, the merchandise sits in the back and you can't sell it. If you don't have people who can, you know, man the cash register, people aren't getting through lines and you see it in abandoned shopping carts and they're going somewhere else. You're actually losing out on your bottom line. And it's interesting because you'll hear a lot of people, especially in finance, talk about these roles. Unless you're straight up in sales, they look at anyone working, any employee, as overhead. And it really isn't. These people are the ones that are actually driving your sales. You know, if you're working at a fast food restaurant, they're the ones that are driving that pie sale, which is at 100% margin. So if you're not putting it out there and you're not on mobile, which is what's driving you're meeting your candidates where they are, and you're not making it fast and you're not getting them in, you're losing them to competitors, and you're actually losing money from your bottom line. This isn't just about an altruistic exercise. This is about, what are you doing specifically to actually put money in your cash registers? And if you're not, you're losing.
For those of us out there who might be struggling with engagement, performance, and yes, retention, and if you're here in the Work Trends community, you know I talk a lot about retention. What are we doing with hourly employees when it comes to this? Can we talk about a translation of a better candidate experience in business wins by doing some of this stuff?
Well, I think there's a couple things. So one thing, and I've been guilty of it even on this very conversation, Megan, that you and I are having now, is the hourly candidate pool is not one giant aggregate pool of people. There are still different separate communities of people within that pool, and there are different jobs that make up this pool. And so, for example, if I'm a huge extrovert, for example, I might not be the right person to work in the back end warehouse role in a highly repetitive packer picker role, right? Because I might be really good at it skill wise. I might be great at packing and picking and my accuracy might be high, but I might hate that job because I need more interaction with people, and you'd be better off putting me on the front end trying to sell someone a dryer. And so the first thing I think I can do as an employer is put an assessment in place on the front end that will determine fit for role. So it still may be a minimum quals job. You can work the shifts. You're over 18. You're legally eligible to work in the US, whatever it is. But I still may be a better fit for that front-facing role as opposed to that back-end repetitive role, or vice versa. And there are really great tools out there. Like, for example, with the hourly tool, we've partnered with an assessment company called Tradeify, which measures exactly for that and still fits in with that candidate experience. It's a visual assessment that you take within 90 seconds on your mobile device that will still tell me as a hiring manager, hey, this candidate's going to be better for role A than role B. So you can automatically say, hey, I'm driving better retention if I put the person in the right role. And of course, driving retention helps with that turnover, and which of course leads to cost and that sort of thing. So that's first and foremost, is making sure that you're still trying to hire the right person and not just putting a butt in a seat.
So if we're in nirvana and we close our eyes and we go, can you tell us, Quincy, what a seamless hiring journey looks like, feels like? I know I would love that. You know, that's why we're here, right? I mean, we want to make it less painful. I know it exists, but we don't know that unless we see it and feel it. So show us that right now, would you?
Yeah. So I think if we're in nirvana, you somehow with your magic wand find the right mix between technology and human interaction, because we are still dealing with people. So you want to make sure you're putting the human in at the right place, but you want to make sure that it's bolstered or even driven by technology to drive all the things that we've been talking about for the last several minutes. And so the key is to make sure first that you're meeting candidates where they are. So the right job board, the right piece of social media, wherever it is that you can say, hey, we want you. You allow them to be able to take action in the moment. Don't say, hey, go to your computer and go to www.superlongurlillneverremember.com. You know, give them the opportunity to engage with you immediately, to ask them the questions that you need to know, to give them the opportunity on the spot to answer what their basic questions will be right there within the technology. If they're a good candidate and you have them do that quick assessment that I talked about, so you can make sure you're fitting them into the right place for them, have them self-schedule into an interview right away, and have them to be able to do that really, really quickly. And then communicate with them while they're waiting. Hey, this is where you go. While you're waiting, we think these might be some good tips you might want to know about that will help you better prepare for your interview. And in the morning of their interview, hey, we just want you to know we're really looking forward to seeing you. If you need anything, click here. You can talk to somebody or you can chat with us right now. So anything that a live recruiter would do, give them the tech that they can do it all in the palm of their hand, all in a single platform. And then, by the way, give them a person they can talk to if they really need to. But don't make them go in and out of 10 different systems. Don't make them memorize passwords they'll never need again. Don't make them give you, you know, a hair sample and a social security number when you may not even hire them. So keep them, make it fast, meet them where they want to be, get the information you need, give them information back so you actually have a back and forth conversation and relationship, and do it all at once and communicate back and forth.
And who doesn't love not having to remember passwords? Goodness, please.
Oh my gosh, I know.
It's the bane, right? Bane of my existence. So I hear that.
Oh, I know. It's true.
So, you know, time's flying here. We are clearly having fun and challenging the status quo with Quincy. So we've reached crystal ball time. What are your predictions for the future of work?
Oh, such a fun question. I wish I had a crystal ball and I could tell you, and then we'd all be millionaires, right? But I think the biggest thing and the biggest lesson that we've all learned from 2020, it's interesting. I was watching a movie the other night, Moneyball. I don't know if you've seen it. I love that movie. And it's a baseball movie, really. It came from when the Oakland A's were playing and they had the lowest salary cap in all of baseball. And how are they going to turn them into a winning team? And essentially, everyone was against it because they were used to their old ways of doing everything. And key takeaway there was adapt or die. And I think that's where we are right now in talent acquisition. It's adapt or die. And so one of the big things that people are really latching onto right now is that sort of flexible self-scheduling. We've seen people, instead of I am owning of your work schedule and you have to work third shift only and you better show up and that's it. Since 2018, the rise of flexible self-scheduling has been about 20% year over year. And in 2020, with the re-rise of the economy, it's grown tenfold, meaning companies are really latching onto the idea that if they just post shifts that need to be worked, their employees will then amongst themselves decide when is best for them to be able to work with, you know, childcare or another job or whatever it is. And all their shifts will be covered and their employees will still have hours that they want to work. And their business will still be supported. And I see that really going forward into the future as that flexibility and adaptability really goes forward, that will support both your employee needs and that engagement and that retention while still supporting the business going forward. I think that is your future, not just in your hourly workforce, but in salaried workforce as well. So look for that continued flexibility and adaptability as you go forward. Anything that drives just complete inflexibility, I think, is going to be going away.
Quincy Valencia, thanks for stopping by and just crushing it with all you're doing with the global recruitment industry to move it forward.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate your time.
This has been a really timely and important conversation. You're going to want to keep your eyes open for our forthcoming ebook, The Hourly Hiring Guidebook, Defining a New Standard for Candidate Experience, written by yours truly and sponsored by Hourly by Alexander Mann Solutions. Thanks Thanks to listening to Work Trends from Talent Culture. Join us every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern for a live Twitter chat with our podcast guest. To learn more about guests featured on today's show, visit the show notes for this episode at talentculture.com and help us spread the word. Subscribe to Work Trends wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a rating, review, in iTunes. Share Work Trends with your coworkers, your friends. Look forward to it. See you next time.